just going to go back to the shepherd story a little bit, which has always been a bit of a favorite. I didn't set out to say I was going to read the nativity account in December. I happened to be just had decided, you know, a month or more ago that I wanted to return to the Gospels and just spend some time there and at least read one. And I ended up Matthew and Mark and then Luke. And near the beginning of December, I'm not sure exactly when, I was reading the Luke account, which of course is the only one that has the shepherds, who are sort of been favorites of mine anyway. And just a little thing jumped out at me that has been a backdrop for my contemplations. I want to share that with you and see what that elicits from you and how it aligns with your contemplations. I go back with the shepherds a little bit. I've had the privilege of being a shepherd because I had those two tame sheep, right? Still have them. And so we were doing Christmas alive. And because I was a sheep wrangler, I, you know, dressed up and joined the shepherds, dragged my boy with me a few times, I think. And Stan's not here today, but Stan was visiting, doing a missionary visit one time, and Christmas Alive was on, and we said, "Hey, want to be a shepherd?" And Stan said what Stan says, "Oh, sure," and laughed. So we dressed him up, and he joined us around the fire with our gear on and our sheep. And the cool thing, I'm not an actor, but you know what occurred to me to do is just to see as best as I could what's going on in the account and see how that would grip me. And it's an interesting, it's something that'll stick with me, is just trying to put myself in those shoes. I'm going to read that famous bit, which I've flipped my Bible to the wrong spot. There we go. And you, many of you will know the words almost by heart, from Luke chapter 2. "And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.' And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary, Joseph, and baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them." Now, I don't want to make too much of my impression of one tiny phrase, but I think one of the ways God speaks to us with through his word is to take something we've read a gazillion times, that we've recited with our homemade shepherd's crooks and our tea towel on our head since we were little, and just speak through it. And the thing that jumped off the page to me in my reading in December was, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that had happened, which the Lord has made known to us." Now, my mind's eye has a pretty vivid picture of the explosive glory and amazement of those angels appearing, because I set that up in my mind when I thought, what should I be doing here with my tea towel on my head as I'm being a shepherd? And so it's a big deal. And in my mind's eye, I made it as big a deal as I could so I could properly react. And it made me think, I'm looking for the Lord to do big deals. Maybe because of my Christian upbringing and theological background, I really want to see God stretch out his hand to do signs, wonders, and mighty deeds in the name of his holy servant, Jesus. I'm intrigued by, you know, healing and good things happening. And I've read about revivals, and I wanted to see that here. And that's all good. As are a sky full of angels is good. But I was just struck with how this time through, I was struck with how the shepherds referred to it. Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that had happened, which the Lord has made known to us. The angel hosts, the bright shining light, the big declaration is summed up in the Lord has made known to us. And we want to see what he's told us about, which is, of course, Jesus, God with us, God's gift and lifeline to humanity. We want to see that. I think these shepherds were primed people. I think much like Anna and Simeon, a little later in the story that we read about, they were people who were watching, waiting, longing, as the words to the song that Margaret plays over Christmas. I believe that's where their hearts were. And so they didn't mistake the message or the messengers for the message. They didn't sit and say, yeah, there's a baby somewhere, but, you know, we're not the sort of people that can leave our flocks. You know, we're not the sort of people that want to interrupt what we're doing. Perhaps someday we'll see, we'll hear about it. That's for somebody else. But what a cool night. You know, they didn't go on the talk show circuit talking about my angel experience. Although they seemed to indicate that they told people, certainly Mary and Joseph and others who amazed it. And then they said, they returned praising and glorifying God. The Lord has made something known to us. We want to know what it is, and we praise and glorify God. You see, there's no glorification of the shepherds, even though you've probably often heard in messages that include the shepherds, you've often heard it told that in the culture of the day, shepherds weren't held in high regard, despite the story of King David, which is interesting. But, you know, shepherds were smelly people from the fields, and they provided food and lambs for the sacrifice, but, you know, they weren't anywhere near the core of society, let's put it that way. This was their big break, guys. They were the angel people. They returned praising and glorifying God. That tells me something about the heart of the shepherd. They had no clue that thousands of years later, children, without knowing the shepherd's names, or what happened to them, where else they occurred in the story, more children would dress up as shepherds than would as Roman soldiers, although that happens. In fact, most other people, other than Mary, Joseph, the Magi, and the shepherds, are villains in the story when we have a Christmas pageant. Think of King Herod there and, other people that occur in the story. If you went to Bethlehem Walk or Christmas Alive and you remember the other people in the story, a few of them are the good guys, and the shepherds are right in the thick of that, being acted out thousands of years later. So their bit part, God has preserved and shone a light on for a reason. But the reason, I believe, is that when all this glory happened around them, they said, the Lord is making something known to us. Do you get it? They didn't miss the message, which is God with us, on account of the messenger. And it made me think about the season we're in, because our Christmas Eve service with its full building and lights and hugging each other, that we, you know, sort of missed that form, and our things we do every given Sunday and many of our traditions, they're not wrong, but they're the messenger. They're not the message itself of God with us. They're proclaiming God with us. And if we linger there in that glory and don't say, come, let us go and see that the Lord has made something known to us here, if we're content with our Sunday morning sitting or any of the other messages, or if God stretches out his hand and does powerful things in our midst like we all, I think, yearn for, that's a message. A message. It's not the messenger. When Jesus healed those people, raised Lazarus from the dead, it was a message that I'm the resurrection and the life. It wasn't. It was pointing to something. It wasn't as much something. You know what I'm saying? And so I think a lot that I yearn to see to authenticate my faith, and sometimes, Lord, forgive me, maybe authenticate myself, I think a lot of that hinges on, is my heart in the place to say, the Lord is, you know what I mean? To pivot and return praise and glorifying God and not linger in the atmosphere of the messenger, be it an angel visit, be it a fabulous church service, belting out really well-crafted worship songs in the presence of talented musicians, which is fabulous, but that's the messenger. And if we're content with the messengers, we would be like shepherds that sat around and said, wasn't that cool, and talked about the angel visit without saying, come, let us go, the Lord has made something known to us. Because the Lord's always speaking. And I was reminded of, if you've kind of looked in your comments over the last few weeks, at least twice, if I'm not mistaken, our brother John has referenced a scripture, a familiar scripture from Psalm 37. I'm going to start right at the beginning of Psalm 37. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Or some of your translations will say, and find pasture. Just to bring up that shepherd reference again. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Now take that psalm written by David. This is a psalm of David, the shepherd. And think of our shepherds back in the field. Wait patiently for him. He will bring forth your righteousness like the noonday. Delight in him, and he will give you the desires of your heart. It's easy for me to begin delighting in the desires of your heart and say, yeah, I've got God, right? In other words, the confusion between the importance of the messenger and the core of the message, I think, is there. So David says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. These shepherds, waiting patiently, I believe, with hearts that longed for God with us, and that understood the importance of God with us. On the outskirts of society, and we see that implied in this Psalm 37 piece, they were people that God could come to in that way, that wouldn't mistake the messenger for the message, that wouldn't get sidetracked. And look at that verse. He will wait. He'll bring forth your righteousness like the noonday. The shepherds may not have lived to ever see themselves elevated in any way in society. 2,000 years later, it's one of the best parts in, I'll never be Mother Mary, so it's one of the best parts. In fact, for me, the best part in the Christmas pageant is the shepherd. It's a glorious privilege. The righteousness of those shepherds has been shining like the noonday long after they went, as Psalm says. But be patient. In other words, they didn't have to worry about their status in society. God knew their hearts. And so when the sky filled with angelic beings that many would be tempted to worship and that gripped their hearts with fear, they were so mighty and glorious. When the light dimmed and they were left to react, it said, the Lord has made something known to us. You get it? I mean, I don't know. That really jumped out at me. And to me, it applies to all of our forms of worship, which the Lord has disrupted. As Steve was talking about those divine disruptions. And he was talking about hearts ready for the impossible. I believe sometimes I'm eager to see the impossible. I'm eager to see the stretched out hand of God do amazing things in the midst. But hearts that are prepared for that are hearts that are delighting in the Lord. And that when God does amazing thing in their midst, they go, the Lord has made known to us. Let's go see Jesus more. Let's go be in the presence of God with us. And our response is to return praising and glorifying God, not to write a book about, you know, how cool our experience was, although books can be all right, but not to trade on our experience, but to delight in the Lord. It's a very focused response to an amazing event. And I want to see amazing events. I really do. I want to see God's power at work on Gabriola. But I want to be that one with a focused response to it. I want to return to many of the forms of worship we enjoy. I want to give you all hugs and, you know, sing in unison, use our building. I want to do all of that. But those are messengers. And in this divine disruption, as Steve put it, is an opportunity to tune our hearts to the message itself, which is God with us, to have that desire of our heart be God himself.